you could be doing something smarter with your money that creates income now. If you're wanting to get ahead financially and enjoy greater freedom of choice, if you want a comfortable retirement and you know you'll have more choices if you can do more with your money now. If you've wondered who else is creating ways to make their money work for them, and you want actionable ideas with honest pros and cons and no fluff, welcome to the Richer Geek Podcast. We're here helping people find creative ways to build wealth and financial freedom. I'm Mike Stoller, and in this podcast, you'll hear from others who are already doing these things and learn how you can too. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Richer Geek Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by REI Words, your go-to SEO agency for increasing traffic to your real estate website. Check them out at reiwords.com. Today, we have Spencer Hillegas, the CEO of Madison Investing. It's a real estate investment club with bespoke, curated real estate deals. Spencer founded Madison Investing with a singular mission to help busy, successful professionals. Anybody know any of those? I bet you do. He's going to help you invest passively and secure the most valuable asset of all time, which is time. How you doing, Spencer?
Doing great, Mike. You know, I mean, I think starting conversation off like you and I did talking about guitars was a wonderful way to start it off.
Yeah, and those of you that will be watching on video, I've got a few. He'll pan to his side. He's got even more. And I should run to the other room, grab my other four or five that are just pieces of art. You know, I mean, they're just beautiful things. Spencer, a little bit, you know, for our listeners, where do you come from? How did you get involved in this? And what's the most important thing on why you decided to break from your tech career and go into this new career?
Yeah. And thanks for having me on, Mike. It's just great to have a conversation so naturally. I think, you know, I sit here feeling very blessed. As an example, use a quick story. Like this past summer, our two young kids and my wife, Jennifer, who's also the co-founder of Madison Investing with me, my COO and my better half, we all went and were able to go live in a different country. We lived in Portugal for 30 days. And that kind of thing is mind-blowing. If I could go back in time and try to tell that quick story to myself when I was working in tech and I was leading and building operations groups 80 hours a week in office, I would have been like, man, you're like, what are you smoking? You know, that's a pipe dream. And so here I sit just feeling very fortunate because I did work in tech companies for 13 years, ended up leaving that behind in 2019. I think the month was October, about 5 months before COVID hit. And that was never the plan. I was grinding it out in those companies. And I won't bore people too much with this, but I'll say as a kid that grew up in a real estate household with a dad who was a broker, that scared me into tech. And I never thought I'd find myself here again. Somehow, within the world of real estate, where I focus on investing passively and putting our capital into stuff that is long view, truly long view. Like, is it going to produce cash flow distributions that can replace my income? Is it going to be something that is ultimately risk adjusted to see through whatever kind of volatility is happening in the market? And we're certainly getting some battle testing moments between COVID and 2020, and certainly in 2020, starting in 2022 through now in 2024. So we've been started off in buying a local rental. Initially, modest start. I was still working full time, bought a duplex, paid 430 grand, the California prices, there you go, for $200 a month in cash flow. It's not what you call a cash flow win, but we still have it. And hey, it's steady. It's appreciated a lot. We then went on to buy some turnkey rentals in the Midwest, built up a bunch of great looking cash flow on those, 60K a pop on average, getting 250 bucks a month cash flow from each of those. And then eventually realized we didn't want to own rentals because they're semi-passive at best.
Right.
At least while our kids are young. We have a 9 and 6 year old now, but we found our way to passive investing as LPs. And that's where the real journey begins now with Madison Investing and our passive investments, et cetera.
Yeah. You know, it's a great deal for everyone. It's like, there's so many of us, like, how can I get out of the thumb of being told what to do? And you work your butt off just to get a 20% larger quota the next year. Congratulations, here's the new quota. And it just drives you insane. I have over my wall hanging right in front of me, and I see it every day. It's my motto, and it goes right along with what you're saying. It says, build a life that I don't need a vacation from.
Yes.
And everyone asks, why? You know, why do I just not sit on my 401k, my IRA? People think that they can't get out from the grind. And it's just like you. Do I want to rent an RV for 2 weeks? Do I want to go to the cabin? Do I want to do anything in the world? All I need is an internet and a laptop, and I can run my business. Talk about the importance of switching to that. Now, I've gone kind of the other way, from an LP to a GP, and then I've built a team that has finally allowed me to kind of step back. So I kind of did it. I went from a grind to no grind, a bigger grind. It's, talk about, people are dreaming about that. It's like, how can I build wealth, get out from that grind, build that life that I don't need to vacation from?
Yes.
What's the importance of keeping your passive investment strategy passive instead of getting back into the grind?
Oh man, we could spend the whole time just talking about this question. That is such a killer question, Mike. I would argue one of the hardest ones, if not the hardest. You know, I look at the key choice that I was wrestling with. This is about in 2016, making great income, W-2. Jennifer, my better half, her own distinct career. So we're doing dual income thing here in the Bay Area, getting great income, stocking money away in our 401ks, maxing it out, really celebrating that for a decade plus. Nothing wrong with it. Got to get that company match. But ultimately, when we sat there was one mentor I spoke to out of many, tons of networking calls that happened and meetings that happened. When I was trying to find my way, buying rentals, and I was like, this is going to take forever. If we keep scaling up buying one rental at a time, it's going to take us 20 years. And I just don't know if my hand's going to function anymore after signing these loan docs that many times. This is going to hurt. And the mentor asked me a question. He was like, what kind of market do you live in? Do you live in a money state? Do you live in a deal state? That sounds immediately derogatory to every person that lives in a coastal pricey market. And that is not the intention. I'm not trying to talk down or punch down on my friend.
It's the truth.
It's just the truth.
Yeah. You should not be offended by the truth.
Yeah.
No, it is. That's why I don't buy hotels in California. There are other states, and it has nothing wrong with the California people. It's the market. It is the business. It's the way that California is compared to other states. California is not the only one that I would not invest in. But you have business truths. It's just the way it is.
100%. That question was so powerful. And I won't have time to give credit to the other formative conversations that I had with, because you get mentors in my corporate life. I look back at that and I'm not sitting here like so many folks in the real estate investing community. I'm kind of like they rip hard on the W-2 world. And although I'm sitting here and we're talking and I'm saying it was hard and it's a grind, we can all go find a grind in every industry.
Yep.
I look back and I cherish that experience. I had great income. That income enabled us to go buy our home, to buy other properties, to go make investments. But I wanted something that said, my number one priority, if you were to look at my calendar until I quit, it was work. It was not my family. And that's messed up. I really believe that moment, that spark of like, not, there was a time in about 2017 or around there, I didn't see my son for like 2 weeks. You know, I was going in early, sun was not up. I was coming home late, sun was well down. And I was like, this is, something's got to give here. It's not just make more money. And so ultimately, when it comes to forming, like, do I want to go build a business or do I want to go invest in another business? And that's the question when it comes to real estate. And folks will jump headfirst into going and building a business. The moment they see a great paid ad on Facebook, the moment that we read a book, I read 24 books and listened to over 400 podcasts in an 18-month period while working full-time. No one needs to go do that either. That was procrastination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I will say I tried to educate myself so I didn't make a stupid decision, like one of the biggest stupid decisions, which is, let me go dive headfirst into building a completely different type of grind that I don't want to lean into. And that's why we started investing as LPs. You know, we invested as LPs, as passive investors, limited partners in a multifamily deal, and we got doubled our money within a 2.5 year period. That has not happened every time. Big disclaimer, very different market now than it was then.
Yep.
But
yeah, believe me.
Yeah. My goodness. But that was an eye opener. And so I did eventually get a bit more active. We started investing, but then we said, everyone in my network was asking me, Spencer, you're going to go hop on a plane and go look at that property sitting in the middle of Texas. You're going to go walk that storage facility sitting in the middle of Georgia. What if you did some diligence and helped educate us? And then that was the genesis of saying, okay, let's get one click more active in addition to our passive. It's a journey. And I wish I could give a quick and dirty answer to people to say, here's how you decide how active you want to be. But it's a labor of love and figuring out, are you actually curious about this stuff? Because I had done 13 years in a career where I cherished leading people and managing people. Hardest thing anyone can do, I swear. It's like brutally challenging, mm-hmm. emotionally taxing, mm-hmm. being a therapist, but also very gratifying. And I was done on that front.
Yeah. But here's the thing. You've created the grind, a different kind of grind, but it's on your terms.
Absolutely.
Right? When you're a W-2 outside of your own company, you're someone else's grind.
Yes.
You're making someone else money. You're making some money, but you're making a corporation. You're making some entrepreneur that created that company all the money. And what I say, people are like going, owning all this and doing syndications and doing funds is the grind. But in the middle of that grind, I can play golf if I want.
That's right.
I choose when I want to work. That's kind of the importance, and that's the differential part. And you can do that as a limited partner if you just start, because it is possible, isn't it, Spencer, that you can do enough deals as a limited partner, not have to worry about anything, and you can replace your income.
Yes you can. If to me the biggest guiding question, and there was a specific weekend I will reference when I share this, Mike.
Okay.
Time. It's about time compression. Mm-hmm. Right? And you know this, but we haven't talked about this. I don't know if the listeners think about this. It was mind-blowing to me. So in 2016, Mike, I mean, Jennifer and I hired a sitter, and we took this super seriously. It was the nerdiest exercise you can imagine. We sat down and said, how do we break free, completely replace my income, completely replace Jennifer's income, mm-hmm. from two W-2 careers? And we said, how do we remove the excuses? Because at first, everyone, I'm a human being. Everyone says we want instant gratification. I want it. I want out now. That makes for so many easily grabbable excuses why we can't do it. Mm-hmm. So we said, let's pick a very long time horizon, call it 15 years. And that sounds absurdly long, but we picked it. And then the next weekend we did it, the whole thing again. And these were hard sessions, man. For a married couple with kids, we were sitting there getting through cycles of argument. There were some mm-hmm. tears. There was some laughter. There was some reconciliation. I don't want it to come across like this was some magical answer. We worked for that stuff. And right. We came out the other side of that saying 15 years is too damn long. We want to do it in 7. Mm. Ultimately, we hit it in 5. Mm. And I want to be candid with folks and say, like, if they want to do full passive work in their career, they're making great income. It is doable. But if you want to compress the time, that's the real question, right? For us, it was like, if you want to do full passive path, there's people in our group too that'll invest alongside us. Mm-hmm. They don't hate their careers. They're not burnt out. Mm-hmm. They just want to know there's an off ramp.
Yep.
You know, so by the time that they get to year 5, year 8, maybe, and they're an engineer or a developer, mm-hmm. or they're a product manager, and they're sitting there saying, I just want that to be ready for me by the time that I'm ready to get more family focused, then you pull out that timetable a bit further. But for us, we said 15 too long. Let's figure out how to get passive and do some active, run our investing club. That's how we compress the time down to get to 5 years for full passive replacement with some active as a complement too. Mm-hmm. So it's an exercise that's hard, man. We still have to revisit that annually. And we are better at the exercise now. There's no tears involved, but just to illustrate that it is absolutely possible.
It is. Yeah. I had to readjust mine after COVID also. Just bought a hotel 2019. Bam. Average of 86% occupancy down to about 7.5. And you're like, woo, you know, let's learn.
It's shocks to the system, right?
To the system and made me a better hotel. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, that hotel is still going. It never shut down. It continued operation even during COVID. You just think outside of the box and you become, you know, half the hotel. You do whatever it takes to keep the investors happy and keep the asset open. So let's talk a little bit about your club and everybody again, Spencer Hillegas, MadisonInvesting.com. We're going to be talking about the .com right now. What's the website about? What do people do? I go to MadisonInvesting.com, request the invitation. What happens?
I reach out. It's not automated. I myself reach out to every person that actually takes the time out of their busy day just to say, hey, want to learn more? And we have grown our club membership a bit of the old-fashioned way. It's been building long-term relationships, similar to what you and I were chatting about offline before we kicked off today, Mike. That has served us incredibly well. We're not sitting here trying to push growth. This is not a startup, much akin to the VC-backed wonderful companies that I've worked for in my career that creates this pressure cooker need for growth. Like, we're trying to build authentic relationships with real human beings that are figuring out their financial path forward. So reach out and have a human conversation with me. And we sit there and just figure out where we both want to head. And in the club, we'll share a handful of the types of opportunities that we invest our own money in throughout the year. Some of it's multifamily storage, some other niche assets, short-term rentals, ATMs, stuff that cash flows.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but no hotels yet. That's a whole other beast.
I'll put a yet on there. Yeah.
That's a whole other beast. Yeah. I came from, 20 some years of multifamily hotels. And they're just like, they're not quite the same.
That's one thing that I want to mention too, Mike, is I have found it to be incredibly valuable to stick to one thing that I do, something I know. And before I jump into something, taking the time. And so I just wanted to mention that with my caveat of yet for hotels.
There you go. All right. So someone wants to be an LP, limited partner with Madison Investing, some multifamily, some other assets, the known assets that cash flow, that has a history of cash flowing. What's the minimum? Do they have to be accredited? What are some of the requirements in order to invest with Madison Investing?
Just requirement number one, please be a reasonable, friendly human being. Requirement two, accredited investors. Happy to chat with non-accredited. We're all human. And frankly, those rules are set up with the best of intentions, but just because one little number changes, it doesn't mean it changes the human. So happy to build the relationships. This is a long game. Limited partners. There's a reason it's called limited partners, right? It's not just passive investors. It is LP.
You are a partner. Yeah. Yeah. This is not something you cash out in 6 months and say, hey, Spencer, I need my car payment. Cash me out in 6 months.
Yeah, exactly.
How about 5 years?
5 to 7.
Five to seven, maybe 10, depending on another COVID or something like that. What are some of the future projects that you guys are working on? Or if you can talk about it, if they're under paperwork, what is Madison Investing doing currently?
Happy to, and I'll try to keep it brief because I'm excited about the landscape moving forward. We're in such a unique moment in the market where asset prices, basically, you and I have been chatting about cash flow. And cash flow meaning if I invest $100,000, as an example, into something, I want that to start producing a meaningful distribution rate back to me. At least to be compelling for folks, back in 2018, 2017, let alone earlier, we were all looking at deals that were 8% cash flow, drop your money in that, and you'd see that in year one, not including what you get on the back end, where you get this big growth pop. Those types of opportunities are slowly starting to emerge, but there are very few of them, very few. And so I'd say right now what we're interested in is really two things. Looking for year one cash flow, and this can be from a storage facility, this can be from multifamily, this can be from a more niche asset class. Meaningful year one cash flow, not just with a big loan put up against it on a variable rate loan.
Yeah.
Trying to reduce the risk. And then number two, make sure that it actually has a tax advantage of some sort built into that structure. Mm-hmm. If you got some tax nerds out there, I never thought I would be, but I am now, trying to avoid big taxable moments on the exits. Mm-hmm. And so buying big assets with other people that we appreciate partnering with, investing alongside, having those things cash flow for years. Ideally, when the time comes, refinancing out and getting a big distribution from a cash out refinance. That's a beautiful thing. Then you don't have to worry about a huge capital gains tax bill and bonus depreciation recapture. Those types of things. So those are the two things right now we're working on, putting together fund and a couple other one-off opportunities that we see coming down the pipe.
Perfect. Now, Spencer, is there anything that I haven't hit on that you'd love to inform our audience about before we leave?
I would just say that if you haven't nerded out on investing literature, which most people haven't, because I think it kind of puts them to sleep, I would say come back to the core principles. This is something I have to do myself, even though I've been in over 50 deals, 50 investments passively like this and actively as well. What is the goal for the capital? Right? It's such a simple sounding question, but when people start seeing fancy looking investment summaries, I do this too, beautiful looking deck with an incredible looking return as a projection. And the question is, are you solving for cash flow?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you are a high net worth individual, a family office, you don't really need the cash flow.
Exactly.
So really just sitting there and being honest with oneself, I find that guidance to be incredibly helpful. And I just borrow that very simple question from someone else, of course. And I just try to implement it every time I look at a new opportunity. So I would just challenge folks out there to ask themselves that. What's the goal for the money before they end up with something?
That's very true. I have investors that do self-directed IRAs and things like that. They don't care about the cash flow.
Right. I do it too.
Because it's staying in the IRA. I have some high net worth that they don't need the cash flow. What they want is how long can we keep it in?
That's right.
They don't want the 5-year. Hey, Mike, you have any 10-year? Can we reinvest? Can we do that and just keep it going? Because they don't need a couple $1,000s a month. It's not even their car payment.
It's not life-changing, right?
It's not life-changing. They don't need it.
Pounds, and that's beautiful.
Absolutely. Well, Spencer, thank you so much for joining us today on the Richer Geek podcast. You be blessed in that sunny Bay Area weather. It's probably getting a little bit warmer now.
We finally got some sun today, but hey, we needed the water for the past couple of years, so we'll take it.
you definitely are filling those reservoirs, I think.
That's true.
All right. Well, have a blessed day, and thank you for coming on our podcast.
Yeah, honored to come on. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thanks for tuning in to the Richer Geek podcast, where we're helping others find creative ways to build wealth and financial freedom. For today's show notes, including all the links and resources from our show and more information about our guests, visit us at www.therichergeek.com/podcast. And don't forget to jump over to Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts and hit the subscribe button. Share with others who could benefit from listening. And leave a rating and review to get the podcast in front of more eyes. I appreciate you, and thanks for listening.